Lately, not much had. Why should this be the exception? Hey, Charlie, I answered, forcing a brightness to my tone I certainly wasn't feeling. The last time Charlie and I had spoken on the phone, 6 months earlier, was when she'd called to tell me that the last of the editors she'd submitted my third novel to had passed. What are you thinking for your next book, Olivia? She'd asked me then. My next book. As if my ideas and words sprouted fully formed from our rooftop garden each summer, the same as my tomatoes. As if I didn't need to actually sell a novel to eat and pay my rent. And what about my poor third novel? A slightly semi-autobiographical coming-of-age story which was now destined for no more than a dusty drawer. It had drained every bit of creative life out of me to write it. I'd poured my whole self into it for 9 months, ignoring everything and, worse, everyone in my life until it was too late. And then having it out on submission for months had been its own special kind of hell. Charlie had forwarded me lovely note after lovely note from passing editors who just weren't the right fit. They used words like beautiful writing or gorgeous prose, followed by can't break her out, too quiet. Or perhaps the most honest one, who'd said that following the lackluster sales of Becky, is there really a place for this new book in the market? Harsh. But maybe that was fair. My second novel, Becky, had sold about 1,000 copies to date. Olivia, Charlie said now, how's the new book coming? Great, I lied. Almost finished the first draft. If you considered 46 to be exact, rambling pages close to a first draft, then that wasn't a complete lie. But creativity was an emotional well, and mine had run dry. Even as the generous advance I'd received for my first and second novels had too almost run dry from my checking account. Great, Charlie echoed. Can't wait to read it. She paused for a moment, and the line was silent. Was that really why she was calling? To check on my progress? Charlie had too many other clients, important ones, to have the time to hold my hand. Anyway, she cleared her throat. I have an interesting offer in for you. An offer? I repeated, not quite understanding. Book three was no longer out on submission. The disaster that was Becky certainly wasn't causing any subsidiary rights folks to knock on my door. And though my first novel had gotten a little bit of nice press and was even an Indie Next pick, no one was still thinking about it, except for me, 5 years later. A write-for-hire gig, she said. A very well-paying one. How well-paying? I asked, quickly. $50,000 up front, and then 20% once it sells to a publisher, she said. 20% of all of it. Advance, sub-rights, royalties, she clarified. But all I really heard was $50,000 up front. Okay, I'll do it, I said, not asking any of the questions I should have asked, any of the questions all writers know to ask. Who, what, why, where, when. These past 6 months, a fuzzy sort of desperation had come over me, where everything I used to know about writing felt ephemeral. $50,000? Great. Sign me up. Charlie laughed a little. How about I send over the NDA, and after you sign it, we can discuss the details. I agreed, but how hard could it be? And $50,000 would go a long way toward rent and groceries and giving me time to figure out what the hell I was going to do next. 2. I refreshed my inbox, eager for the NDA to land.